Trusting you, yes, to obeying you. Yes, Lord, my soul says yes, Lord. Well, good evening, good evening, good evening to you, 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 yes, even you. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Body. God bless you on this wonderful day of May. Amen. May 15th here at, we are enjoying warm weather here in Memphis, Tennessee. Amen. And we're thankful to the good Lord for all that he has done. This has been a wonderful day. Amen. I declared it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I shall be glad. Amen. I choose to be glad and to rejoice all in it. Amen. Hopefully your day has brought you some good things, some good tidings, some peace, some joy, some things that you was able to accomplish. And if not, tomorrow's a new day. You get to start over. Make you a note. Amen. Of the things that you did not complete today. And prayerfully, with God's help, you'll be able to do it on tomorrow. Amen. There's a song called The Power of Christ. I'll be right back with you. Just one moment.
We just want to encourage somebody out there.
That
no matter what you're going through, no matter how it looks, anything is possible with the power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thought I had the best in life. I had friends and I had seen. Thought I was doing okay on my own until I lost it all. I thought that I had real joy and possessions of this world until the day I met you and you told me about.
Amen, amen. The power of God's love, amen. The power of Christ's love, amen. That is so wonderful to know that in spite of what we may be facing, what we're dealing with, let the power of Christ's love supersede whatever's going on in us, with us, around us, and give us the ability to accomplish that which we are assigned to do. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen. Well, your mic lines are open. Those of you that are on the line now, amen. We want to say God bless our internet listeners. God bless our listeners that's on demand, and you that called into the live broadcast on this evening. Good evening, good evening. How everyone is doing today? How's your mental?
Excellent. Amen.
Amen. That's Brother Sick. God bless you. How you doing today, sir?
I am great, sir. I am great. My mental is 1,000 tonight.
Praise
all
the
right.
Lord.
I like that. I like that, sir. Your mental is 1,000. Amen. Well, you know, baseball, they say 1,000 is good. So, hey, that means you're knocking them out the park.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love it. Amen. Anyone else on the line? Hey, Sister Ruth, God bless you.
Amen. How y'all doing?
Hey, there he is. None other than the Wolf Man himself, as Mother Six would say. How you doing?
I got to tell you something exciting. Tim made it to Israel.
All right. That's good. He had travel mercy.
Timothy Groover. Yeah.
Amen. That is good. That is good. He made it over to Israel. Amen.
Yeah, it was a struggle, but they got there. So he called and talked to us, and he'll be on his show tomorrow.
Amen. That's good. I think I would like to take a trip to Israel just to see the places where Jesus was ministering to and just, you know, go over to see the Sea of Galilee, to see what the disciples were struggling, trying to row across. Just, you know, to see where Peter walked on water at, you know, just to see the empty tomb where Jesus had laid, all of that. I just want to, that would be a wonderful trip. Vacation to just experience the Holy Land. Anyone else on the line? Have anyone gone to Israel that's on the line? I don't know.
Hey Pastor Bonnie, how's everybody doing out there in 6 5 radio show?
Oh, hi, Lila.
How you doing, Sister Lila?
My mental status is, I would say, probably between a 5 and a 10 right now.
Okay. Well, it's not below a 5, so that's good. That's good. And it's rising back to a 10. That's good. That's hope. I like that, those possibilities. That means you're hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so
God's,
that's a good
willing,
thing.
God's a willing.
That's good. Do you have a prayer request on this evening, Sister Lila?
Yes. Continue praying for me to get into assisted living, where I did manage to make some calls today.
Okay.
I gotta continue making calls tomorrow. There is a new prayer request I gotta have put out there. Make sure everybody could pray that I get answered on getting this lady to answer me for my GED tab test, so I can get the rest of that done. Because all I got to do is the English, which is writing, and English and I think writing. English and writing, yeah.
Amen. You're going to do great. Amen. You're going to do great. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes.
We always encourage people to, for higher education, many reasons people are not completing high school and different things of that nature for one reason or another. And it doesn't matter what the reason was that you didn't finish, but we always encourage those to try again. So many stories I've heard of people, of parents actually going back and getting their diplomas, diploma equivalent, completion equivalent, GED, along with their children, as their children are finishing school, and even some afterwards. And so it is always encouraged. Don't be ashamed of that. We want to overcome illiteracy on every hand, on every turn, because just because you may be illiterate don't mean that you're dumb, don't mean that you're, you know, words like stupid. You're not those things, you know. And so don't feel ashamed, because there's many people that, believe it or not, there have been people in business that have started certain careers and they had help along the way and became very successful and had to go back and finish up their education well after their success. So, you know, don't take that as a don't keep it as a stumbling block. Look for opportunities to make it a stepping stone and go back and get your education. And it's just to better yourself and do it for yourself. Amen. And so glad to hear that, Sister Lala. And we're definitely praying for you concerning that, that God will allow you to accomplish everything that you can.
Okay, thank you, Pat Persex. I really do appreciate you and the show supporting me in this thing.
Amen. And we do. Our prayers are with you. We think you're going to do well. Amen. All you have to do is just desire to do it, apply yourself, and trust the Lord, and he will give you what you need. Amen. Amen.
Pastor Bennett, I got a funny one for you.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Not Ken today?
This is not the comedy hour. I went out, and we've tried to fix the mower. And Kenny's an expert in mowers, okay? And we're going to have to get some help right now. We can't afford it. And the Asheville Homes is coming around here to check and see if everybody got their grass cut and everything. Well, they're going to have to find out our mower is broke at the moment, but Kenny can fix it. So we're just praying that everything works out. But what's so funny about it is I had to go out and try to use a weed whacker to cut down the grass as high as it was. And I got some of it, and then I dropped it, and I thought I killed it. That's the funny part.
No.
I dropped it when I came in. Kenny says, you didn't do anything. You just fell apart. I got it back together. So me and the fussy again. I worry more again. So I praise the Lord that I didn't break it.
That's all right.
It's just funny.
Yeah, all it was is the guard, you know, by the bottom of the weed whacker, it just popped loose. The way it is, it pops loose. If it turns, it'll pop off. Yeah, you have to push it on and you turn it, and that's how it locks in place.
Oh, okay. It's one of those twist locks. Versus something that's screwed in. Okay. So is that a one that works through electric? You have to plug it in?
Yeah, it's an electric jobby.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. Those you just have you just be careful with the cord, but those do good. They do good. They have nice enough power to them for homeowners, and you can get it done. Just take it a little bit by a little bit, and you'll be surprised. With all the rain
well,
that we
biblically,
have had,
I told her to do it the biblical way.
What's that? What's that?
I told her to be like Nebuchadnezzar.
We could have got a goat. Honey, we could get a goat. The only thing is, I don't think I should come wouldn't accept that.
Wait, you're not telling her to break a city audience about burning the grass, did you?
No, I just told her to do it Nebuchadnezzar way.
Well, I got a dream of making a garden out there.
Because Nebuchadnezzar, he ate the grass.
Yep.
Don't eat the grass. Do not eat the grass. No, do not do that.
Are we having fun yet?
At least you wouldn't go hungry.
Don't do that. That's what's wrong with this generation coming up. They're not eating the grass. They smoking the grass. So don't do it. Don't do it.
Hey, Pastor Bonnie.
Yes, ma'am.
I got a really good joke. It's a knock knock joke.
Uh oh. Is it clean?
It's a knock-knock joke, okay? It's clean, yes, it's clean, it's clean,
okay.
It's clean. It's a godly joke, knock-knock joke. It's a godly
right.
one, okay? Okay, knock-knock.
Who's there?
God.
God who?
God, I love you.
All right, all right. Well,
that was a clean one. That was a clean one.
Yeah, God is love. Amen.
All right, all right. Well, let me get in on it.
Hey, you got to end it to me. That was clean.
That's right, that's right. Uh-oh.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Nobody.
Nobody who? I guess they didn't want. I guess they had the wrong door. That's what that is.
Pastor Bonnie, if you don't mind, I'd like to put a plug in for tomorrow's show. Maggie Balfour, who says the Six Eyes Radio Network is her quote church unquote, she will be on the Word of the King, and she's going to be giving her testimony tomorrow. So you might want to check that out.
Good. Amen. And you got to give a time.
That's 1 o'clock tomorrow Eastern here, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
All right.
That woman can sing.
Oh, that's good. Be blessed. Amen. Amen. I heard Queen's voice. Queen, are you there?
I'm here. I've been trying to get in.
Hi, beautiful.
Well,
how are you doing, Queen?
Everybody press pause. Queen.
Thank
the
you. You got to let everybody get in, everybody.
Yeah,
you did. Amen to that, Queen.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I just want to say my mental is about an 8, and I'm thankful. Just continue to keep praying for my family, and that's it for now. I'm looking forward to the show and what Pastor Bonnet's going to bring to us this evening, so hopefully you're ready to get started.
Amen. Well, that I am. I am. I definitely want you to have your paper, your pencil, or your pen, or your writing device, your tablet. I have your Bibles. Some have study Bibles, and you have highlights. and highlighters, and you can highlight in the Bible. Yeah, you definitely can.
Excuse me for one moment. Please mute your mics. Please mute your mic as the pastor is getting ready to deliver his message. Please mute your mics. Thank you.
Amen. And amen. That's our service announcement. Amen. Mute your mics. Amen. Because I'm not going to go back to the board and unmute everyone's line. So let's be mindful if you're in a noisy environment. Let's be kind to everyone else listening. Amen. I could, but I'm choosing not to at the moment. Amen. That way I don't have to keep floating backwards and forward with the screen, and I can stay focused on teaching the lesson to this evening. Let's be clear. Pastor Bonnet is a student of the Word of God, claimed to be an expert, a scholar, or any of those things. I am saying that I am a servant of the Most High God. I am saying I am a born-again Christian. That means I am Christ-like. I believe and I have received the redemption for my soul. I do have the Holy Spirit dwelling within my being. And I said the Holy Spirit, which is a person dwelling within me. Now, to the world, that seems strange. That seems like something. How can somebody be dwelling in you? Well, just like I live in a home, the Holy Spirit can live in my being, and he can make my being his home. Why? Well, number one, I invited him in. You know, it's strange to go to someone's house and knock on a door and they don't open up. Well, then you really can't even visit because there's no real visit. Can you say somebody visits your house if they stayed on the outside and you never invited them in? Yeah, they may have come by, but that really is not a visit. A true visit is, as the scripture says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart knocking. If any man hears my voice and open up, I'll come in. And he said, I'll come in and dine with him and he with me. In other words, we'll break bread together. And that's something of a custom that when you are accepted from a group family, you eat with them. You break bread. You sit down and you eat and drink together. And you fellowship. You talk with one another. What you talk about really is almost irrelevant. It is the time. It is the investment of time. It is the sharing of one's joy and life experience. And so I ask the question today, have you enjoyed the Holy Spirit today? Have you enjoyed the presence of God in your life today? Well, if you weren't conscious of it, can you really say that you enjoyed it? I don't think so. You know, husband and wife may live in the same home, but what kind of home would it really be if the husband walk throughout the house all day and never speaks to the wife, and the wife, she goes out throughout the whole day and never speaks to the husband? That just don't seem like fellowship. And it doesn't speak of a healthy relationship. So if I get up in the morning and I speak to my wife and I hug and kiss her and I'm involved and active to her, and when our children was living in the home, we have one back now temporary, but, you know, it was, good morning, son, how you doing? Hey, son, how's your day? It was a conversation. It was a relationship. I'm encouraging us today that as we grow in God, that we remember that it is relational. It's supposed to be relational. The Holy Spirit is a person. He has anointed us, or he has come to be our keeper. Well, what good is a keeper if he never speaks to you? The thing about a gardener, someone that purposely grows plants and maybe even vegetables of some kind, a good gardener actually goes out and speaks to the plant as they tend to them daily, whether they're watering them, checking to see if they're growing correctly, cutting off anything that doesn't belong, ensuring that their development is what it needs to be. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. Yes, he does. He is the person that lives within us to help us have a greater understanding and relationship with God the Father. He speaks to us concerning the love of Christ within us. On tonight, we're going to visit several scriptures that support what I'm saying. And we're going to even talk about some of the things that the Holy Spirit will allow a person to do. We'll look at a few Old Testament statement. And let's take this journey together, okay? All right. So allow me to pray, and we're going to St. John chapter 14 for our first reading. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for our listeners. I pray for myself, for it is me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I thank you for the opportunity to share gospel truth with this family. I pray for their understanding. And I pray, Lord God, that we all get something from this that will make us better kingdom citizens. We love you today. Thank you for your patience and your grace towards us. We love you, Father. Thank you for loving us first. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, once again, let's journey together. Let me put my helpers called reading glasses. That's a good helper right there. My reading glasses is my helper because my eyes have trouble reading small print. I need assistance enabling me to do what it is that I'm trying to do. So if eyeglasses have purpose and they only benefit me when I use them, now I can look over to my fireplace and I can see several reading glasses over there, and they're nice and fine and wonderful, but they're over there. They benefit me nothing because I'm not using them. They're there. They work. And they have the ability to magnify what it is that I will be trying to look at or to bring clarity in what it is that I may be trying to read. But they benefit me none if I don't use them on my face, over my eyes. Amen. So in life, the Holy Spirit is here. He's wonderful. But it doesn't benefit you if you do not utilize him. Wow. Wow. Food for thought. Food for thought. Food for thought. St. John chapter 14. Amen. St. John chapter 14. I'm reading from the King James. You know, let me open up this other Bible app too. I may need to read from the New Living. We're teaching, so. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me right now. Ooh, right now. St. John chapter 14, verses 23 through 26. St. John chapter 14, 23 through 26. Amen. I'll read this from the New Living first. My notes are all in King James, but it just dropped in my spirit. So we're going to just obey the Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit being a helper. Maybe he's trying to help me. So let me listen. St. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say." Uh-oh. Question mark. Do we love Jesus? I'll make it personal. Do I, Kenneth, love Jesus? Kenneth, do you really love Jesus? Okay. Do you really love Jesus? Not the idea of loving Jesus. You know, but do I really love him? You know, because sometimes we can have an idea of loving someone, but that's a fantasy. You know, I don't know who's famous right now. You know, back in my day, they used to talk about Halle Berry and Denzel Washington. So sisters, you know. The idea of loving Denzel Washington, that's an idea. But you can't love him from afar. You can love the things he's done. You can appreciate the contribution that he has to life. But you don't have a connection. His wife does. Therefore, she's the one that's really loving him. His family does, therefore they are the ones that are really loving him. Those that he has mentored in the entertainment business, they have the opportunity because they have access. And that access gives them connection, which feels relational. And when we realize that the love of God for us give us access, but we still have to utilize that access. Our children oftentimes, or any child, when we were children, we knew our parents loved us, even though that was hard discipline. Now, we're not trying to define good parenting in this statement. We're going to leave that as the premise that parenting is the prerequisite of it is one that protects the offspring parenting and has an interaction with that development. So true parenting is a involvement. And to love your children is to be involved in their development. Well, God loves us, and he wants to be involved in our development. But now here's where the disconnect happens. You have good children and you have bad children. Yes, I use the word bad, because if you're not good, you're bad. Stop saying, oh, they're a good person, but they do bad things. No, you're bad. If you steal cars, you're bad. If you're lying to everybody, you're bad. You cannot say that you have a good heart and be bad. Some of the most dangerous serial killers in the world was people who was presumed to be good because they had good deeds. But good deeds doesn't make you good. That just make you deceitful. Oh, come on back, preacher. Get back in the day. Get back in the day. All right. Back to St. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus replied, all who love me would do what I say. Will do. Don't say should do. Might do. Will do. What he say. My Father will love them. Who going to love them? The Father. Why will the Father love them? Because they will do what he, Christ, has said. And we will come and make our home. Wow. Wow. We, the Father, the Son, come and make our home with each of them. Each. That means God desires a intimate relationship with you. And when we get that understanding, it makes life worth living, because we know God wants to live in us. In other words, he don't want us looking through the clouds trying to find him. But we can look within ourselves, and there he is. Once again, St. John chapter 14, verse number 23, reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say, period. My Father will love them, comma, and we will come and make our home with each of them, period. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me and remember my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. Lord, have mercy. I am telling you these things now while I'm still with you. When the Father sends the advocate. I love this word, advocate. King James, give us comforter. But this word, advocate, is a very powerful word because it's a legal term. He will send us a advocate. Many times when you go to court today, The judge don't want to hear you without an advocate, without someone to speak on your behalf. I know you have the right to represent yourself, but in many cases, in many cities, the judge really don't want to hear you unless you have an advocate, someone who understands the law. So when they're speaking for you, they can deal with all legal issues without error as they petition the courts on your behalf. So therefore, he's saying the father was saying the advocate as my representative. It's amazing that you know, you can get a speeding ticket and you don't have to show up. You send your advocate. You send your lawyer. And they take care of the legal matters on your behalf. You don't even have to show up. Because they're there, you're there. There's some things that we need to petition heaven for, but we're on earth. But the Holy Spirit is our advocate. So he can petition heaven on our behalf while we're here in the earth. Oh, that's good news. That's good news all by itself. I can really stay in that frame of mind for the whole thing. But there's so much more that the Holy Spirit is, and we're going to journey together in that. So again, verse 26, and we're moving on. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything. What? You mean I don't have to join a four-year college? You can, but you don't have to. The Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Here's the very important part for us who didn't physically walk with Jesus. How do we know what Jesus said? We read it. We read it. So the Holy Spirit brings back to remembrance the things that we read. The Holy Spirit reminds us the things that we have read that are in Scripture. So it is our job to study the Word so that the Word himself can come and remind us of our benefits, of our rights, and listen, and of our duties. Yes. So even though Jesus later on said, he said, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. We can't get what the Holy Spirit wants to teach us from the world. So you don't get this from listening to people who's talking worldly. They can have some good advice, but what is good advice without he who have governed what good is? So I said it earlier, and it's worth repeating. Doing good deeds doesn't make you good, because the devil can do good deeds that just make him deceitful. If doing good deeds could make us good, then Jesus would have never had to sacrifice his life on the cross for our sins. All right. We're moving toward First Corinthians. Excuse me. I almost want to go see what that say. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. And again, I'm reading from the New Living. It reads, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit." God revealed what things to us? How did He do it? He did it by His Spirit. In other words, you and I may have not heard a voice from heaven like John when he was baptized in Jesus, and the Spirit of the Lord descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Or at the Mount of Transfiguration, that when they saw Moses and Elijah standing there with Jesus, and Peter said, "Oh Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make tabernacles, one for them and one for that one, and one for you." It's like that's three different churches. That's three different religions. The Bible said that the voice came from heaven. That this is my beloved Son, hear Him, and the other two characters are gone, and Jesus is standing there alone. So we are to listen to Christ. Thank God for those forerunners. Thank God for them and what they resounded that God had them to resound. But it is for us to listen to Jesus. Well, Jesus is not with us, Pastor Bonnet. Yes, but His Spirit is. And we understand His Spirit when we read His Word. They say reading is fundamental. Studying God's word is our spiritual lifeline. Amen, somebody. Once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. It reads, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secret." What kind of secrets? God's deep secrets. Wow. Verse 11. "No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit." That means I can know how funny Six is, or how funny Ken Wolfgang is, but I don't know his thoughts. The only ones that know their thoughts are their own spirit. You know, Ken and Wolf been married a long time, and maybe every now and then she can figure out what he's gonna do next. But she don't know his thoughts. Oftentimes, husband and wives can be at some disagreements because he may not be moving as fast as she believes he should be moving. But in his mind, in his heart, he's contemplating on how he can do something precious, how he can do something meaningful, but because it was happening slow, at times, husband and wife, the wife can say, "You don't care about me. You don't this and you don't that." They don't know the heart. They don't know the thoughts that you are planning, because oftentimes, husbands don't share certain plans because being finite, we don't want to not be able to fulfill the plan because you're going to hold us to it. But here's the beauty of God. God can tell us now, because he tells the end before the beginning began. There's many things that God shares with us, but he's God. He's able to do what he said he's going to do. The Holy Spirit will remind us that he said he's going to do it. But because of time, sometimes we think that he forgot. Or we think that changed his mind. That's what happened with Abraham and Sarah. God promised to bless their seed. And it was a long time coming, and Abraham was still getting older and older. After all, it was 75 when the Lord told him to leave his father's house. And he's getting older, and he's getting in his 90s, and he's 90-something. He said, Lord, what about me? You said you're going to bless me. And God has already said what he's going to do. But many times we need the Holy Spirit because he's that African. He also puts us in remembrance of what's already stated so that we don't lose hope. And that we may maintain faithfulness. So no one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thought except God's own spirit. So the next time you wondering whether or not God wants to bless you. Have you ever heard somebody say, I thank God trying to get me? Lord have mercy. One of the most funniest things that we can say and statements that we can make is that God is trying, the emphasis is on trying to do something towards us. Well, God don't have to try to do anything towards us. He's God. If he want to do something, he just do it. So he's not trying. Amen. Favorite scripture. I know my thoughts towards you, declares the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give you an expected end. So when we are not sure about what God is trying to do in our life, and the emphasis is on us, we're thinking what the Lord is trying to do, what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Ergo, the reason for the relationship between us and the Holy Spirit. He is that Paracletus. He's the one that resounds or recites what God has said. Okay? For us. So, verse 12. Just going to put that in there. And we have received God's spirit, not the world spirit. Every born again believer, listen, we receive God's spirit, not the world spirit. Blessed be the man that sitteth not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay? So we have not received the world spirit, but God's. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Freely given. That means there are things that that you and I have that's already set in order from the kingdom of God. And God has already released those things. Now, here's the working of the devil. The devil works and begin to work deceitfulness to make us miss what is released for us. Because if he can push us too fast or hold us back so we're too slow, we miss the opportunity to experience what God has in store for us. And by missing that, sometimes we get in a place when we miss those moments for one reason or the other, just our nature begin to wonder whether or not it was God's will. But we have to remember that the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So many times the only thing that the enemy can do is slow us down. He know we're not going to go back to the world, but if he can discourage us from being faithful in our local ministries, discourage us from learning the more about God's word, if he can bring any type of discouragement into our life, he can bring hindrance so that we're not listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. I mean, it's funny how kids oftentimes they're being counseled by their parents to do this, to do that, to do that. And then one day, a guidance counselor or someone encouraged them to study better, to do this or that. And then they come home and say, you know, I'm going to do this and that. And the parent is saying, I've been telling you to do this all along. And all of a sudden, now you got a revelation, you know. And the parent is really shocked because they've been saying to you all along, this is what you need to do. Well, God's word is set for us. This is what we need to do. And every now and then we need that revelation, and it comes through the Holy Spirit. And God allows that to develop sometimes through our interaction with one another. That's why it's very important to forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. Why? Because we are to encourage one another. We're to build up one another. The Bible said, if you catch your brother in a fault, well, if I'm not hanging out with you, I'm not fellowshipping with you, I can't catch you in a fault. And you can't catch me in one either. If we're not together, we're not connected. But the rest of that verse goes on and says, you that are spiritual, restore, restoration. It is not for us to walk in condemnation. Brothers and sisters, please. It is not for us to walk in condemnation. If we're walking in condemnation, that's the spirit of the world. Because the Spirit of God brings correction. All right. I need to move on from this one. I need to move on from that. I wanted to insert the story from Saul right here. And so instead of turning to it, allow me to give some paraphrases here. In the book of Solomon, First Solomon, we see the story about how Solomon was the prophet that his words did not fall to the ground. Everything he said to the children of Israel, it came to pass. And as he began to teach the children of Israel, as he ministered to them, they were being blessed. He judged Israel for a long period of time. But because the children of Israel kept looking at the neighboring countries, they kept looking at how they were governed. Now, God had been with the children of Israel. He punished them, but he protected them. They have been in many battles, and God given them victories. And as they were carrying the Ark of Covenant, God showed mighty great feats and wonders in their lives. Well, the children of Israel began to complain that they were not like the other nation. The other nation had idol gods, figurines, if you would. You know, statues, god of this, god of that. Different deities that they were praying to for this and for that. And so they'd be desiring to have a king like the other countries. And so much till they kept telling Solomon, give us a king. Give us a king, give us a king, give us a king, give us a king. And he got very upset with them. As one of their leaders, he was upset with them, disappointed. And God said to him, they have not rejected you, they have rejected me, their king. So they want a physical king and not a spiritual king. He said, so give them what they ask. He said, in giving them what they ask, let them know that the charge of a king, what the king going to require of them. And so he went through that motion and all of that, and he appointed what was appointed to them as their first king was King Saul. King Saul ruled them from age 30 to about age 72 or somewhere around that. So a long time. But in the process of ruling them, as he was first being appointed, upon a day where he lost some donkeys. Now, starting out, the difference between him and David is Saul have a group of people with him, and they lose donkeys. Now, I don't know how you lost the donkey, but they lose his father's donkey. So they're searching for his father's property. And one of the men says there's a seer that's over here. I heard of him, a man of God. We can go to him and ask him to give us help. We can go to the man of God and ask him for help from God. And Saul said, man, we done ate up all the food. We don't have nothing to give the man of God. We don't have no money, nothing. He said, we can't go before him without an offering. Key and very important to know. It's in your Bible. Read it. But what goes on and said, so the servant said, well, I got this one little piece of silver. He said, we can give him this coin and see will this be enough. But God had already told Solomon what was going to happen and that he's already given him his instruction. And so when Saul finally gets to him, he said, well, we'll sit down tomorrow and I'll tell you what you're coming looking for. He said, but don't worry about the donkeys that you've been looking for. They already, now that's what they came there for. So he had already prophesied to him. He's already given him his answer. But because there's an anointing that needs to take place publicly, and it needs to take place in order for a certain way. And so they sit down to eat, and then he has a private meeting with him and anoints him and tells him that he's going to be the first king of Israel, of his brethren. Well, when he hears this, he thinks himself to be small. Now, his description was he was head and shoulders taller than all his other countrymen. And he was good looking to boot. So not only was he a national icon, he was taller than the rest of them. Now, that may say that they were some short people. So don't y'all hate on us short people. But nevertheless, he was appointed. And so the people didn't believe it at first, didn't understand it at first. He gives him instruction privately. He said, when you leave here, you're going to be on a journey. He said, but the Spirit of the Lord is going to fall upon you, and you are going to prophesy. Now, he tells him he's going to do this, and in his mind, if you wasn't part of the Levitical priesthood, if you wasn't in that lineage, then prophecy wasn't not something that you were supposed to be doing, because it was believed that prophecy was for the men of God that was appointed to do the service of God, period. But God lets him know that I'm going to allow my Spirit to fall upon you, and my Spirit going to give you what to say to these men. Now, that event takes place, and they begin to say, wow, is this son of Cush, is he anointed to be a prophet too? Can anybody be a prophet? In other words, can anybody speak for the Lord? Does God put his Spirit on anybody that's not part of the Levitical priesthood, or not part of the house of Judah? They're trying to figure out, man, who can be touched by God? Who can speak for God? They couldn't deny it, because the things that he said was accurate. And that's very important to know, that if God's speaking to you, it's not a guessing game on your part. When you obey the Holy Spirit and speak by the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's not a guessing game. But it allowed those that heard you know that you are listening to God. So in a praise and worship service, you don't have to have the title of a prophet for God's Spirit to anoint you to speak into the life of someone else. It is the duty of the Holy Spirit to give you what? Let's go back to it. No one can know the person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to give you that unction to speak into somebody's life, it is because they were not able to hear what God is saying for them, but they can hear you. And so when you are speaking as an oracle of God, a spokesman of God, then it's very important that you do not insert your thoughts, your mind, but you simply say and speak as God gives you, because it is to benefit that individual or that group, maybe. And so that's what it does. That's what he does. And we see this even in the beginning of the anointing of the first king, who later on messed it up. And that could tell us that just because God used you doesn't mean you won't get rejected neither. Because this man is prophesying, he's speaking by the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. But later on, because he's the leader He's the king, and God holds leaders, and God holds leaders responsible for those that are listening and following them. What you do in private, God will deal with privately. But what you do publicly, God also have to deal with publicly. Well, he, the king, did something that only the priest was supposed to do. And he did it in the eyes of the people. And instead of repenting, when the priest came, when Solomon came, he said, well, you were running late, so I went on ahead and did your job. Wait a minute, dude. That ain't what you're supposed to do. God has placed you in a position to lead his people, and you lead them in a different direction from following spiritual leadership. He said, had you obeyed, the kingdom would have been established for your family forever. But since you done disobeyed, God has rejected you. And he turned to walk away from him, and he reached out, and he grabbed the hem of his garment, and it split. And he said, and God shall split the kingdom from you. See, we can't play with the Holy Spirit. I told y'all about Ananias and Sapphira, who played with the Holy Spirit, and it cost them their life. And here, he played with the Holy Spirit. He did the office that he was not anointed to do. And it cost his family the kingship. And we're going to leave it right there. We're going to keep on moving because I don't have much time to dive into that a little bit deeper, but we'll move on. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. So God has always had his spirit on the scene to help guide us and to lead us, because he's not just guiding you and I as individuals, but he is leading and guiding his people as a nation, as a people, kingdom. So it's very important for us not to play with God's spirit, but to honor his spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. I think that's what I told you. Yeah. All right. And this dealing with future glory, we find down here at, I need to back up, I guess. Okay. We'll come down to 28. Okay, so that's back up to verse 24, I believe. Let's back up to 28. And that wasn't in my notes, but I think it's very important. Back up to verse 20. All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 20. Let's read that. And again, I'm reading from the New Living, and you can read from your King James, whatever version that you're reading from. Romans chapter 8, verse 20, New Living Translation. It reads as follows, verse 20. It says, against it will all creation was subject to God's curse. okay? All creation was subject to God's curse, but with eager hope, the creation looked forward to the day when it would join God's children in glory, in glorious freedom from death. That lets us know the state of the world, or creation itself. And so it's looking forward to something, okay? So again, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Verse 22. For we know that all creation has been groaning, that's groaning, that you know, when you're in pain. Groaning. So all creation is groaning, there's pain in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us. Wow. Pastor Bonnie, is that saying we have the Holy Spirit, but we still suffer pain and we still go through some stuff? Yeah. That's what it's saying. I'll read it again. That's for clarity. But that's what it's saying. Verse 22. For we know. We're not guessing. We're not trying to figure it out. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present day. Verse 23, and we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait eagerly for the hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new body he has promised us. Now, I thank God for the life I have, but there's coming a day, Brother Ken, Missionary Ken, Brother Six. Amen. We're trying to give Brother Six a new title. Amen. Put you on the mission field, Six. There's coming a day, Six, where you're going to be able to experience your glorified body. See, the body that you have right now is subject to decay. That means, including the issues you now have, your body's still going to decline. It's still going to go down. But the hope that we have through Jesus Christ, and we are assured this through the Holy Spirit, is that one day we're going to receive our glorified bodies. Now, what is that glorified body? What does it resemble? What does it look like? Well, you as a person, you as the spirit being that God created, you are not blind. You are not without all your five senses. The original you is without hunger and without thirst. When you receive that glorified body, the thing that fuel, energize this body, these finite bodies that allow these bodies to decay, that new glorified body will put us from this time where time matters and transition us to where time doesn't matter. We'll be in eternity. That means we'll be forever healthy, forever being able to walk around. Sister Ruth, you're not going to have to use the wheelchair to get here or there. No, you'll be able to run up and down the stairs if you want to. Amen. If you want to cut the yard, you'll be able to cut the yard. Amen. But guess what? Ken will have his sight, so he may cut it for you before you get there. I already have it done. So that's that glorified body where even now all of us may have something that we have to deal with, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, sugar levels high or low, chemical imbalance in our bodies, headaches, migraines, backaches, all of these things, we're going to be transformed. Let me go on. I need to get to where I'm supposed to be. Amen. So we, too, wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children. That means, man, that there's some more benefits coming our way. Amen. Including the new bodies he has promised us. So we got to wait on those new bodies till we transition. But there's some full rights as the adopted children that we have, and we have access to that now. See, the glorified bodies we have to wait on, Brother Six. We got to wait on that. Okay? We're waiting on the glorified body, but what we're not waiting on, Queen, is we're not waiting for our full rights, children, as the adopted children of God. No, we have access to those now. And we have it because the Holy Spirit has full access. And when we are communion with the Holy Spirit that's in us, we too have full access. That means he is our adversary. He's our advocate, excuse me. He's our comforter. He's all of that we need already within us. And so we don't have to move in any type of hopelessness. Because if you had a natural earthly father that was a good father, you didn't worry about any bills, food, clothing, anything of natural. Matter of fact, some stuff that may have not been natural to you because you was privileged, it was natural for you. You know, to the rich, giving their children a car on their 16th birthday may be something natural for them. But to us who ain't rich, I ain't giving my child no car on their 16th birthday. And I made them work towards helping pay for it. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. So there's a difference in the fellowship and that relationship, and it comes through the Holy Spirit. So that's very important for us to understand. Verse 24, we were given this hope when we were saved. Wow. Let's not forget that. What hope are you talking about? Our full rights as adopted children, as a child of God, you have full rights to the Holy Spirit. He is the free gift. It is He who lets you know the thoughts of God concerning your life. Very important that we do not let that thought go, that we hold on to that. The Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. We must fight this fight and hold on to our faith concerning these areas. So, again, verse 24, we were given this hope when we were saved. If we already had something, we don't need to hope for it. If we look forward to something we do not have yet, we must wait patiently and confidentially. In other words, we must believe that God is going to do exactly what He said He's going to do. Nothing aggravates a parent more than a child that keeps asking the same question over and over, and you done gave them the answer. And you gave them a promise that you're going to do something, and they keep asking, are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? It aggravates you. To some of us, it may provoke us to say, you know what? I'm not going to do it now. Because we're human. We'll change our mind through your pestering. God is not like us. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Verse 26. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Helps us where? In our weakness. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness because we keep aggravating the throne of heaven. We keep aggravating God. Lord, when the Holy Spirit be saying, I'm going, just hold on. So the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray for. We don't know how God wants us to petition Him. Okay? But the Holy Spirit prays, petition for us with groaning. This is that speaking in tongues. That's the heavenly language that cannot be expressed in words. This is personal. This is personal. Speaking in tongues. This is not for a public, not that you may not do it, not that you won't do it in public, in a group prayer, but this is not, this groaning is not for the public. In other words, this is not your moment of prophesying or giving a prophetic utterance to anyone, but this is that personal. This is for some of this big mama in her prayer room, and we just hear, Lord, yeah, Lord. And sometimes they didn't know how to pray and what to pray for, but they just knew God had to work out. And sometimes their children or their grandchildren are heavy on their hearts, and they're praying, and they're seeking God in prayer on behalf of someone else or behalf of their family, different things of that nature. And you may hear them moaning and groaning if they're crying out to the Lord. This is that prayer. This is that type of prayer that it seeks to people that's listening. It seeks to make any sense to them. But the Holy Spirit in you, while you're moaning and groaning and crying out to the Lord, He is petitioning on your behalf. He is your advocate. You know, so He is the one that's saying, Lord, do this. Lord, this is what's needed. Lord, this is the understanding that's needed. This is the joy that's needed. This is what's going on. That's what his job is. So, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers. It pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So, in other words, God, when that type of prayer is taking place, you're not praying outside of the will of God. In other words, you ain't praying for somebody else's husband. You ain't praying for nobody else's home. You ain't praying for no type of covetousness. You're not praying out of lust. None of that. But the prayer lines up with the will of God. It may be something of pain. It may be something of misfortune that's going on with you, whatever the case may be. But that prayer lines you up with the will of God. And verse 28, and we know that God causes everything to work together, and that's where I was getting to there. God, and we know, and King James, and we know all things work together for the good of them. All right, so, and we know that God calls everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. All things work. All things. So, in other words, preacher saying to you today is God can take your mess and make something out of it. God can take your worst day and make it a stepping stone to your blessing. It is for you and me to not throw in the towel because we had a bad day. Because the Holy Spirit knows just how it affected us. He knows just how much of that we can handle. And he also knows how to strengthen us so that we can do what we're supposed to do and be who we're supposed to be. Amen. Amen. Here's why these things work. It worked then. It worked now. Malachi 3:6 tell us that God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Malachi 3:6 tell us. But it didn't stop there. In Hebrews, and I know I could have went to it with you and let you read it, but Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. And this is something we get from relation. And the Holy Spirit affirms these things within us. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. With confidence. When you got the Holy Spirit, we know God is our comforter. He's our keeper. All of that. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. Why? Because perfect love casts out fear, and no love is more perfect than the love of God. And when we're experiencing the love of God, walking in the love of God, it casts out the fear. Jesus told us in the beginning, we read it, if you love me, you will. So he already established that love does something. So the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. Near people do to me, can do to me. That's what we're not fearing. I'm not fearing because you think that you can blackball me and cause my career not to advance. All I need to do is obey God and trust God. I don't have to worry, you know, right now they, you know, they're putting laws and ordinances in places where you can't even speak against the gay and lesbian community, that they want to charge those things of hate. What we have to remember is you can't speak against my faith in God. And if the Bible said it, I didn't say it, the Bible said it. So what we need to do more is to resound what God has said. Freedom of religion came long before all of that other stuff. And if by faith we believe in the Christian doctrine, and I don't care what church and what organization is now electing gay bishops and this and that, they have a whole lot of sin they've been trying to cover up, and this is their way to try to cover up from their sin and their crime. We just don't know all the details. But you can be whatever you want to be in this society according to the law. But if you're going to make it the kingdom of God, you got to come through Jesus. And if God's word says it's an abomination, then it's an abomination. And since we read from Malachi 3 and 6 that God is the same, He yesterday, today, and forever, if he didn't like it then, he don't like it now. Then he's going to punish it now. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed from their overwhelming wickedness in homosexuality. Not their marketing practices, not their dishonest scales, but in their sexual identity and behavior. God punished them severely. And he would do the same again. So remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow their examples, follow the examples of their faith. Verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Period. He's the same. And so, if he and the Father is one, if it was wrong then, it's wrong now. Don't bring me grace and tell me it's okay. You're a liar. Truth of God's word is not in you. The word says, if conditional, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means, yes, you may feel that you were born this, that, or you had this, you was that or that, or whatever. That's the old you. And that's why you need to be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me move on. Last verse for tonight, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And just a little bit fitting for all of us that want to please God. Isaiah chapter 6. And something to read at your leisure. Here, chapter 6 in Isaiah. But for the saving of time, we're going to read just verses 5 through 9, I think. Yeah. This is Isaiah. He's having this this spiritual encounter with God. And God is revealing to him things that men have not seen, preparing him for his purpose, and so on. And so, irregardless to the walk of life that we came from, when God chose us, he said, before I formed thee, I knew thee. So he already knew what sins we was going to create, commit. He already knew what sins we was going to commit. He already knew how long we were going to do this, that, and the other. So we are not surprising God, okay? So don't act like you're shocking God with your life story. We can't get ourselves ready. So stop saying, I go to church when I get ready. And when I get right, I gotta do. No. Come like you are and allow his word to transform you. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So you must be positioned. For your faith to grow, you must be positioned to hear the word. So keep on coming. Allow it to change you and develop you. It's not a shame to be a sinner, just a shame to remain one when you don't have to. So again, Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to start here at verse number 5. He said, then I said, it all over. You ever felt like, man, this is it? Man, I don't know what to do after this. You ever had that kind of moment? So he's having a moment. It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. Wait a minute, prophet. Man of God. This chapter 6. Now, chapter 6, are you still making a statement that man, you doomed? Man, what happened to you between chapter 1 and 5? Yeah, 6, you still saying. So let's get out of our head, okay? Thank God we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. So verse 5 again. Then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips. No justification on cursing and talking bad to people. None. He just testifies about himself. And I live among a people with 50 lips. These folks around me talk dirty. They crazy. They tell bad jokes they ain't supposed to be telling. Saying things they ain't supposed to be saying. Yet, I seen the King, the Lord of heaven's army. Man, say, I've seen glory. I've seen the Lord. Lord have mercy. He done had a spiritual, a holy spiritual experience. Verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar. The altar is for alteration. Don't be afraid to go to the altar of the church. Don't be afraid to get down on your knees and to repent for the things you've done wrong. And don't let nobody make you ashamed that you keep going to the altar. You keep going to God, get it out your system, whatever it is that's unright. He had taken from the altar with a pair of tongues. Let me read that again. Excuse me. Verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongues. Verse 7. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. That's from 5. But the Holy Spirit be like fire shut up in your bone. It'll purify you. See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed. And that's what the Holy Spirit comes to remove, the guilt of sin. Not that you can just keep on sinning and don't feel no remorse, the Holy Spirit is not your unheartfelt emotions so that you could do any and everything. No. He removed the guilt because the guilt was keeping him from obeying God. The guilt is what was making him feel undeserving to be used by God. So when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, he's removing guilt from our lives so that we know, yes, I was undeserving, but you love me anyway. And you desire to use me anyway. So he says, now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. That's the process of forgiveness, is to remove guilt. When you repent and ask God to forgive you, the guilt is supposed to be removed. So now what I'm saying to us on that is, when somebody repent to you, don't keep hope. Don't run no guilt game on them. Please do not do that. Don't do it. Don't run the guilt game on them. If they don't repent it and you received it, remove the guilt. Don't hold them to the guiltiness of it. So God don't hold us guilty. Your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. Verse 8. Then I heard. Process. Sins are forgiven. Guilt is gone. Now I can hear heaven. I can hear God. And just so happening, at this time, in this process, I'm hearing God, and this is what I hear. And here's what we're going to say. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? The triune God speaking. He ain't talking about no angels. This is not a council of angels, and this is not at the Orient, like say the council of heaven. Nah, this is God himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is Elohim. Sins were forgiven, guilt was removed, and he hears Elohim saying, then I heard the Lord asking. That means God is speaking. There's a word. There's a thought. There's a process in the Lord's mind of who to use next. Might be you. Might be me. I don't know. Am I willing to say yes? Are you willing to say yes? Then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people who will go for us. I said, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. He didn't say, there's Tim Gruber, send him to. He didn't say that. Not that he didn't send Tim, but Tim spoke for himself. He said, here am I. In other words, he didn't make somebody else available. He made himself available. And that's what we must do. We must make ourselves available. I said, here am I, send me. And he said, yes, go. Sound like Jesus before his ascension. He said, and now all power is given unto me. Go, ye therefore, and teach our nation. So he said, yes, go. And say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Wow. He's talking to some people. That was then, but it sure sound like now. Because folks are listening, but they still ain't understanding. They're forever reading books, but they're still not learning. Why? Because their hearts are hardened. And because they listen to who they follow, their ears are plugged and their eyes are shut. Because they won't read the Bible for themselves, the process. That's all I have to share with you on today. Our time is more than well spent. All the lines are still open. Do I have any questions, any statements, any comments? Forgive me for going right up until the last moments here. Is there anyone that has anything that they'd like to state? Amen.
Yeah, Pastor Bonnet, I just want to say it was a good message, and you were talking about an advocate. Well, if anybody knows exactly what having an advocate's about, it's not only in the courtroom, okay?
Uh-huh.
When I was going through special education, especially for those that have visual impairment, when I was at the Ohio School for the Blind, they had what they call the IEP thing for us blind people, you know, specialized education program or individual education plan. And at our school, each student was given what they call an advocate that stood between the student and the school.
Wow.
And say, for example, when they set your goals for learning for particular subjects or whatever, the student would talk with the advocate and say, look, I don't think I could do this. It's too much. Or they could say, well, I think it's too little. I think I could do better. And thus, the advocate would stand between the student and the school and help to set the goals in the IEP plan for the student to reach each year.
Wow.
And say, for example, if I wanted to be part of the work experience program working with, for example, food service thing, I could tell the advocate that this is what I wanted to work with, or the sign shop program or whatever. I would talk with the advocate, and then the advocate would work with the school to institute those changes to my IEP. And so had personal experience with not just an advocate, you know, with lawyers, you know, that I've had to have as an adult, but yes, I've had an advocate when I was in school. So I had personal experience of what it's like to have that. Amen.
Man, I like that. That's
Amen.
Great, man. That is wonderful. I wish I had more time to dig into that and ask you some questions about that, because to bring out the Advent, to really deal with that a little bit more, and perhaps maybe if the Lord say the same next week, I may be able to remember and just work that into the outline on next week, if that's the Lord's will. But thank you so very much. That's just powerful by itself. Man, it's amazing how we can see the Bible. If we really read the Bible and get into the Bible, we can see how the Bible works through our whole life and how God reveals to us so many things. So the Bible is for living. Amen. It teaches us how to live. It gives us the nature of God so that we know God's heart and God's mind towards us, and that we may have a better heart and mind towards others. So I tell you, we have to keep on keeping on, and thank God for the greatest gift, a second to Jesus Christ, blood shed on the cross for our sins, and that is none other than the Holy Spirit. Thank you. That's a wonderful gift, and he gives it. You know, that's the beauty. He gives it without charge. I mean, we got to use it.
And what was interesting, one of the things I instituted with my advocate that I worked with the school, I used to love to do detective stuff. And so in the afternoons after school, I would work with other students, you know, to kind of investigate, you know, like a girlfriend would think her boyfriend was cheating on her and stuff like that. And I'd do little undercover things and find out stuff. Well, I told my advocate about it and thought, you know, the school might like to use my services to help find out, you know, about things that were happening at the school that they'd like to know, you know, to find out, you know, if a student was doing this or doing that, cheating or whatever. And they took me up on it. So I had to help the school do investigations on school stuff, too.
Oh, wow, that's good. That's
so
good.
I became the school detective.
Amen. All right, so I like the great message as always. My thing is, while we're here down on earth, is to keep pushing forward, keep using the values that our parents instilled in us, the strength that they gave us, faith in the Lord, and let nothing stop you. And we still keep butt while we're down here. And then once we get up in the sky, I'm able to drive to the store and go to Tennessee and get some great food. But while we're down here on earth, pressing forward, and instead of just waking up existing, wake up living. And the 1,460 minutes that we have in a day, be productive. And the 8,760 hours we have in a year, don't waste it. Amen. Great message.
Wow. I like that. I need to remember those
Thank
numbers. how many minutes in a day and hours in a year? Yeah, I need to remember that.
1,460 minutes in a day and 8,760 hours in a year.
Like I say, I need to remember.
Man.
I need to put that in memory so I can work it. So I can work it in one of my messages.
Okay.
Amen.
But I was very impressed with the sermon, and I was thinking of that scripture talk about, here am I, send me. When Kenny and I were called to the blind ministry, which we're still doing, and no idea we'd be doing an actual 24-point Bible for this lady named Maggie that's going to be on Tim's show tomorrow. It's like the Lord just puts everything together. I still think we're going to get our bus someday that we've been praying over.
Amen. Amen. Never give up the faith. Work towards what you're able to work towards. And one thing about it is God knows how to bring his will about. And whatever he demands, he provides. And so we just have to make us available and do our parts, and he'll do the rest. Amen. Our queen,
yeah.
Had anything you want to say?
Probably. I don't know. As far as the bus go, y'all, I mean, all you got to do is check in with your local bus companies. A lot of times they get ready to switch out buses, and a lot of those buses go for dirt cheap. So all you got to do is inquire about that, and they probably practically give you the bus for little or nothing.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the advice. That's wonderful.
Well, thanks. I've been already doing some of that.
Hey, God bless. Good night.
Amen. Amen. Once again, I want to say thank you to everybody that has helped me. I did call Queen out. I don't know if she wanted to make a remark before we close out. All right.
Sorry. Yeah, I was in transition. You had a great message there, and I appreciate it. But I'm going to cut it short because I got to go. Have a blessed night, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you everybody for your time. Now, by the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may He rest, rule, and abide with each of us here, now, and forever. Thank you for being a part of the show tonight. I love you with the love of Christ. Good night, and may you have traveling mercy. May you sleep well. May God restore everything that you need to make it through your journey. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Good night.
Good night.